Welcome. Welcome to the third of the Ideas Lunch webinars. My name is Jeff McDonald, and today we're talking about the three things every business needs to build. First question, what game are you playing? So I've got three questions for you. And I think sometimes it's nice to just reflect on our business in a different way by asking some questions and just checking what we're really doing here. The first question is, to continue my love with sport and my sporting analogy, is what game are you playing? So one version of this might be that you're running a business. Another version might be that you're running a practice. Another version might be that you're really just having a bit of a hobby. You know, maybe you don't need the money or the time or the effort and you're just playing along just for the hell of it. So what game are you playing? Next question is, what are you building? And most times we think we're building a business or a practice or a career, or we're building something particular, but we don't tend to ask this question of what we're actually building. And I think part of it is that with business, it's not really clear-cut what we are building. You know, if we go back to that exporting analogy, it's really clear what people are playing for. You know, they're playing to win the immediate game against their opponent, and hopefully at the end of the season, they're playing off in the premiership to win the premiership. And that's what the game's about. Whereas business is way more open-ended than that. And the question of what are you building comes down to, it's a personal thing. So in my business, I might be building something very different to the person next to me. And we'll talk about some of the things that you could be building today. Now, third question is, what's your focus? And I think this is a really interesting one, because I know for myself, if I really had to say, my weakness is that my strength and my weakness is a thing called Pew's Paradox. And Pew's Paradox basically says your greatest strength is also your greatest weakness. And for me, my greatest strength, I think, is my ability to come up with ideas. But unfortunately, the opposite of that is the ability to focus. So unfortunately, I consistently come up with new ideas and I'm onto something else before I've really fulfilled the other one. And often that's a problem for business. So what's your focus, either right now, as in this week, or what's your focus for this year, or maybe even what's your focus for your business? Are you trying to get into a particular marketplace? Are you trying to expand some area of your business? Are you trying to close some aspect of your business that you don't want to do anymore? So you might want to just take a few notes for yourself around those three questions. The common problem, and I've had one problem voiced to me about the webinars, there hasn't been enough slides of Brad Pitt, so here's the token Brad Pitt slide for this week. And this comes from a movie called Troy, and in it, Brad Pitt plays the character Achilles. And legend has it, Achilles had a weak spot, and it was his Achilles heel. So if you know the story, he's pretty much invincible on the battlefield until he gets an arrow in the heel. And unfortunately, he dies. You know, sad story. And it's also a common problem, I think, that we need to be aware of what our Achilles heel is in our business. And in particular, I think the one around focus and planning is a problem for a lot of small business people, because we seem to be playing a whole bunch of different sports. You know, it's like, we have to answer the telephone, we have to make bookings for appointments, we have to attend the bookings and the appointments, we have to make our products, we have to present webinars, we have to do our marketing, we have to update our website, we have to do our bookkeeping, we have to organize the next client, and we need to do a whole bunch of things. And that can be very difficult for a small business person to stay on track and stay focused around that. And I had a coaching conversation with a client on Tuesday this week, and we were starting to work out his 12-month plan. And it was the usual thing. You know, I've seen this lots, and I've done this myself. It's like, okay, he wanted to write a book. Fantastic. And he wanted to start his speaking business, and he wanted to have this webinar event happen, and he wanted to run a workshop, and he wanted to have a whole bunch of videos on YouTube, and the list just went on. And it was just like, okay, I can understand that you want to do all this, and I'm just not sure how you're going to get it all done, because a lot of these were different areas of focus and different skill sets as well. So I think the common problem for a lot of small businesses, particularly when we're solopreneurs, is that we're trying to do a whole bunch of different stuff. And what I want to talk about today in particular is the reason I think there's, if we can bring it back to three things or even what we'll get back to later, is if we can have one really high area or hyper focus in our business, then it solves a lot of issues about what are we actually doing with our time and our focus and our energy. So if you've got any questions, feel free to type them in and we'll answer them as we go. So next step. So what are you building? Let's look at this in a bit more detail. So I've raised the question, what are the three things every business needs to build? So if you've got any clues on that, you might want to type that straight in and see what we get as answers here. Because I think when we talk about business, it's quite a varied thing that we could be building all sorts of things. So I could be building my website, for instance, or I could be building a project where I'm writing a book, or I could be building a new workshop and having people come into that. But I think what we need to do is chunk up a little bit. So I've got a couple of answers coming through. So one is visibility. Absolutely. I think if we're not visible to an audience, the chances of getting work are quite slim. Trust is another one that's come up. So I think that's a crucial one. And Stephen Covey, or maybe it's Stephen Covey's son, who's also known as Stephen Covey, has a great book out called A Matter of Trust. And I think that's a cornerstone of a business. What else have we got here? So building a list. Absolutely, a list is one form of building relationships and the means to building customers. Building authority is another one that someone suggested, and I think, again, I really like the idea of authority because it's like owning a positioning in the marketplace. If you can be seen as an authority in a marketplace, that can be really useful, particularly to capture premium position and premium prices and that sort of thing. And another person's offered influence. So they're all good suggestions, and I think most of them will get covered in the framework that I've put forward today. So good work so far, and we'll see where I'm leading you to. So, back here. First one I think we're all building in our business is some sort of focus around money. And you've got the line at the bottom, money makes money. And I think at the very basic level, we're all in business to make some money. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing this. But I think there's also a favourite quote of mine from the book Built to Last by Porras and Collins. And they talk about profit in particular. And they say that profit is essential for a business, but it's not the reason that it exists. And they use the analogy of profit being like breathing. That breathing is essential for life. You know, if we stop breathing, you know, that's it. Game over. However, our purpose in our life is not to breathe. And whilst money is essential, it's not the purpose of what we're doing either. But also, if you look at something like the game of tennis, you may know that there's certain manoeuvres in tennis that you can do. So it's a forehand and a backhand and a serve and a volley and a smash and a half volley. And the same applies to our money. There's only a handful of manoeuvres that we can really make with our money. And particularly, this might not be the complete set, but it's not a bad set of here's six things you can do with your money. And pretty much if we were having a goal for our business, we're going to be focusing on one or more of these six things to do with our money. So to earn money, spend money, save money, invest money, to give money, or to lend money. And if you want a golden rule around money, for those that love money, it's money makes the world go round. And probably shopping on Park Avenue, New York might epitomise this, or Chapel Street, Melbourne, or wherever you might be. You can certainly see money at work, and you can certainly see the impact of this at the moment, where particularly in the US there's been a money crunch, and to some extent the US world's not going around right now. And even down to they've had the problem of having to raise their debt ceiling and all the problems that go with that. So money makes the world go round. And there's a downside with money, particularly around planning for your business. So pretty much money is a private goal. And this is one of the problems with large corporations trying to get employee engagement. So the psychological studies show that most of us are not overtly motivated by money. Most of us enjoy having money as a means to getting something else. And we need to focus on what that other thing is if you really want to motivate ourselves or someone else. So when we want to play a game inside of our business or a project or a campaign inside of our business, if we were only motivated on money, it would tend to be a private game. So for example, if one of you on the call suggested to me, hey, I'm playing this fantastic game, I want to make $100,000 or $1 million or whatever the number is for this year, I'd probably go, yep, good for you. But I'm not going to be or not likely to be that motivated to help you because there's not a lot in that for me. Unless, of course, you were saying, if I can make $1 million, then I'll give you $100,000 or something to do that. So money has a limit around that. It's not a motivator for most of us. And it tends to be this private thing rather than tapping into the public arena of what we might like out of our business. So let's move on. So the second thing we need to build in our business is ideas. And if you've been on the last couple of webinars, you probably even expected this, given my bias around ideas. So my belief, and for someone who is an ideas person, generally we believe that ideas change the world. And in our last webinar, we looked at the idea of having ideas at particular scales. And the first scale was to having an idea that could change my world, having an idea that could change our world, and having an idea that could change the world. So I won't go back into that. If you want to have a look at that, the recording is available on the Ideas Architect website, and there'll be a link for that later in the program as well. So the critical or the golden rule for ideas is that ideas need form. And the example that I've got on the screen here is a map of Australia, but it also has overlaid a flag, the flag of Australia. And if you think about it, what is Australia? You know, that might seem like a funny thing. We all live in Australia, so we all know what Australia is, but do we really? And I think if you get really conceptual and maybe a little bit abstract and philosophical about it, you get that Australia really is just this landmass that we've got this label for called Australia. And it's only when we start to put this shape up that you go, oh, that's Australia. And in the same way, when we see our flag, we go, oh, that's Australia. And they're examples of ideas having form. Because otherwise, if I just said to you Australia, and there was no way to connect that to something visible or something physical or something solid or something that we could all understand, then it would be a little bit of a vague and almost useless idea. So the critical thing is when we have ideas that we need to give them some substance or some form. So here's some examples. Probably the most solid or physical thing that we can turn our ideas into is a thing. So for example, we've been using the example of the Dyson vacuum cleaner in our previous webinars, where someone had an idea to do a certain thing and they turned it into a physical object. Other ones there are, we turn our ideas into events so people can experience something. So that could be going to a football match, a tennis match, a workshop, a seminar, or it could even be on this webinar. We also have processes. So processes are starting to get a little bit abstract because generally it's only when they're documented in a manual or that we can follow them as steps, maybe on a web page or something that guides us through something, that the process is real. Otherwise, processes are almost a fluid or a less substantial or a less physical form of an idea than a thing. And I think a business sits somewhere similar, that it's a combination of things and events and processes all together. And that's why at some points we can see the business quite solidly, like we can point to or take photos of a website, or we can point to or even visit the headquarters of a business. And at other times, it's a little bit vague and less solid. And then the last one I've got there is a movement. So a movement being an example, and probably the best example is a religion. So you can get that people are, people are engaged in the idea. So they're engaged in the idea of a God and a particular type of God and the rules that follow around how that God lived and how I should live. But they also bind together or come together in some way. So the church or the religious example is that people may read a Bible, which is a thing. They may attend an event called Mass if they're Catholic. They may go through the process of prayer or meditation. And you might even argue there's a business built around that. So what we're pointing to is that ideas, you need to build some form around your idea to give it some substance. Our third big idea, or third thing that I think we need to build in business, is people. And the people that are the social connectors and the social butterflies and the networkers, they'll say, it's all about who you know. And I think there's quite a range of people that we engage with in our business. So traditionally, we've always had customers. If you don't have a customer in your business, you'd probably have to say that you're not in business. We also have people that are offering similar types of services. So again, the people, on all of you on the webinar today, I consider you my colleagues, that we're all working towards something similar. Next level, we have mentors, and I tend to put these people in the support category. So customers are essential for the business. The colleagues are probably on an equal footing to us, and maybe a mentor is someone that we might consider to be slightly above or ahead of us in some way, so that they're offering advice to us to be able to forward our business. Also, a critical one is to have referrers. We all want to be able to get customers more easily, so having people who refer to us is vital. And supporters. So we need our fan bases, and we have different levels of supporters. We might have customers who support us, colleagues who support us, we might have our mum who supports us, and partners and so forth. So there's different types of people and relationships we have in our business. And the reason this is becoming so important is social media. So the idea of gaining value from people that you know has always been around. However, what's happened through social media is it's made it much easier to build relationships and have connections with people. And this has changed the equation around our relationship. And to some extent, there's this new term called, I think it's still being used, called friendlies. So we have our friends, and we have our friends on Facebook. But for some of those people, like I've got people on Facebook that I've listed as my friends, but I've actually don't even know who they are. Some of you may not have accepted their invites. I've just accepted everybody's invite. So you've got these relationships that are varying levels of depth. So, for example, you have your partner or your family that you'll have quite a bit of depth and intimacy with, right through to people like your friendlies on Facebook that you're sort of in touch with but you don't really know, and to some extent you may not care much about them either. And the golden rule around friends, and I think this becomes a beautiful rule for social media in particular, is that we need our friends before we need them. And a very timely example for me was my housemate has been moving out yesterday, so I spent most of yesterday helping her move house. So I'm a little bit sore in the back and the arms and the legs today. But it's all about, you know, if that friendship hadn't have been in place, I would have quite happily said no. And I think this is where people go wrong with social media. They're trying to cause relationships or particularly trigger sales, and they haven't even formed a relationship or a friendship with that person before they're making requests of them. So let's change this slightly. So at the start I said the three things every business needs to build. So let's ask this question. What's the connection between those three things that I've just showed? So money, ideas, and people. What's the one thing every business needs to build? So if you've got any thoughts on that, you can type that into the question box as well. So I'll just give you a moment to think about that one. So what's the connection between ideas, people, and money? Okay. So here's the answer I wanted to hear. A couple of other answers coming through weren't this, so they're equally valid. I just want to present this idea of capital. So we often talk about money in the bank. So if you had money in the bank and you earned interest on that money, that would be capital. That money would be earning you more money. And if you had an idea and you were able to package that up into the form of a book and you sold that book, well then that idea, and in particular that book, would earn you some money as well. And the same goes for people. It's the people we know. So if I know someone, like this week I got a referral from someone for a new client. So knowing that first person helped me meet the second person, which will add to my business by having a new client. So we invest or build our business, and it's no accident the term capitalist is used in the Western world. But what's happening is we're starting to extend the version of capital. So 100 years ago, when you mentioned capital, it was primarily used and almost solely used around making money. So if you're a capitalist, you probably owned you're also an industrialist, probably, owning business or owning an industry. And now it's spread and morphed into a new forms. And probably, certainly since the dawn of the computer age, so you can go 1970s, 80s, 90s, something like that, intellectual capital or idea capital has become fundamentally more important for business. And as I've just pointed out, social capital, although it's always been around, and the same with intellectual capital, they've always been around. With our new technologies, and particularly with social media, social capital and the people you know and the networks you have and the lists you build and the connections you made, they become means to making wealth. So, for example, at a purely business level, if I have 1,000 people on a mailing list and I want to promote a book or a webinar or a workshop, then that list of resources and that establishment of the relationship with them gives me a chance to build some future wealth. What I'd like you to say about what you're building is that I build capital. And what I'd like you to be open to is that if you look at your business through the lenses of building financial capital and money capital, ideas or intellectual capital and social or people capital, then you'll have a much sharper focus about your business. So, any questions up to this point? So feel free to type them in and I'll keep checking the question panel and see if we can answer them as well. So I'm going to keep moving and I'll just respond to the questions as they come through. So part three, what's your focus? So this is where we're going to turn this into you doing some action and just having a bit of a play about planning your business in a different way than probably what you're used to. So the first thing is, what's your current plan look like? So earlier I mentioned a friend who I'd been helping coach around his business, and he had so many different plans. It was really, I couldn't see how he was going to get them all done simply because his focus was going to be all over the place. So what I'd like to suggest is we bring it back to having three goals. And at some point we're going to have a goal in each of those. But before we do that, I want to ask you, which one of these is your strong suit? Are you strongest around money? Are you strongest around the connections you make with people? Or are you strongest around your ideas? And if you've got a bit of paper and pen, you might want to draw something like this. So you can almost go, it's the Mercedes-Benz symbol. Their three triangles were land, sea and air. We're using the triangle of money, ideas and people. So you might just go on a score out of 0 to 10. How are you around money and your focus around money? And the key here is not whether you've got lots of money in the bank. It's more about your level of motivation, your level of focus, and the attention you put on making money in your business. For some people might be making a lot of money, but it seems to just be flowing into the bank. Others might be not making a lot of money, but you're constantly trying to do deals and so forth, and they're just not coming off. And similarly, give yourself a score out of 10 on the ideas scale. So again, are you an ideas person? If you are an ideas and your whole life's constantly about ideas, then you might want to give yourself a high score out of 10 there. Or if you're just not that into books and reading and ideas and creating stuff and designing stuff, you might give yourself a low score. And the same on the people front. If you're the social networker, and you know everybody in town, then you might want to give yourself a high score here. And if you're someone that tends to deal with people just as part of business, and it seems to almost be I have to interact with people, like perhaps you're a bit shy, or you have not that interested, or you have a very small network of people, you might give yourself a different score or a lower score there. For me, I'm definitely an ideas person. That's where I get my thrills from in business. I'm social at some level, but that's not a high level for me. And to be honest, and this is probably one of my great failings, I don't tend to spend a lot of time or enough time focusing on money. So I'd probably be something like a 9 or a 10 on ideas. I'd be a 3 or 4 on people and a 2 or 3 on money. So what scores did you give yourself? So depending on what scores you did give yourself, you might consider yourself to be one of these three groups. So I tend to think of myself as an ideas guy. I'm not the social connector or the social butterfly. I'm not the deal maker or the salesperson. And I think each of these are valid, and I think they're also useful to have all three of them in your business. And that's what we're going to move on to next. So this is really the big one. This is the big question for today. How do you create your hyper-focus? And if you can see these concentric rings and the circles here, you might notice the little blue triangle right in the middle. I'll just get this mouse to do a little bit of a circle. So that's a really small focus when you can see the scale of the circles there. And you might have guessed that, based on the way the diagram's drawn, is that we want to have an overlapping, or we want to have an idea in our business that combines all three of these forms of capital. So let's see how we might do that. So first of all, an example. So the example that I've been doing, and this is my own example at the moment, is the manifesto example. So we've been talking about manifestos the last couple of weeks. And if a manifesto is essentially a public declaration of your intent, and if all you had was your declaration of intent, you really wouldn't have much. It'd be like saying, oh yeah, I'm going to make $1 million, and then not taking any action about it. Well, the odds are you're probably not going to get $1 million out of that. And it's only when you combine your manifesto with a campaign or a project or a goal or an outcome or a crusade or something of that nature that you turn your manifesto into a set of actions and you increase the likelihood that your goal will come to reality. And that's what we want to do today. Effectively, we're creating a campaign based on your intent, and particularly your intent around those three areas of money, people, and ideas. So the example that I created for myself, my goal at the earlier this year when I sat down and did my planning, was I wanted to write a book. I wanted to make a certain amount of money. Particularly, I wanted to make $100,000 from doing some online courses. So I'm building that at the moment. And I also wanted to help 1,000 people create manifestos. And the beautiful thing was, when I worked this out, I realized that they're all connected. And if I simply helped 1,000 people create manifestos, I would earn my money from my project, and I'd also have enough examples and enough experience to write the book on manifestos. And particularly, I used to laugh at this. It was like, if I actually helped 1,000 people write a manifesto, I'd probably be the world expert in writing manifestos, wouldn't I? Because I'd probably have written more than almost anyone. So if you can get your idea and down to one single focus, it makes it so much easier to focus on, and that's where your energy and results will come through, and you'll get more cut through into the marketplace as well. So this is where the rubber hits the road for you. So what are your three goals in the area of capital? So let's look at money. What's your money goal? And I suggest it's going to have at least one of these words involved in it. So I've put these words up as a way to start the sentence, if you like. So I want to earn X dollars. I want to buy a house. So let's use some examples. I want to earn $100,000. I want to buy a house. I want to save $10,000. I want to invest in a house, or I want to invest in a new car, if that's an investment for you. You might want to give $10,000 to a charity, or you might want to lend $10,000 to your mum so she can do what she needs to do. So write something down there about what your goal is around financial capital. The next one is, what's your ideas goal? And most of us probably don't have an ideas goal, nor certainly not stated as that. So generally, you're going to have one of these words, and there'll be a few others, but these are some high-level words that you might use. So it might be, I want to make a new sculpture. I might want to design a new website. I might want to create a workshop. I might want to write a book. I might want to build a house. I might want to capture video or recordings of me doing webinars. So write something down about what you'd like to create in the ideas sphere. And I think the key at this stage is not to get the right answer. I think the key is just to be engaged in the process. And if you're willing to write something down, you can always refine this later. And at least you'll know the process to be able to do this with. And our third one, what's your people goal? And I think these are probably the words that you need to look at here. So do I want to, how many people do I want to meet this year? What do I want to help people with? It might be a case of who do I want to meet as well. Congregate's an interesting word. We often relate to that to church. So this might be around building a community. What do I want people to congregate around or with or whom? Who do I want to invite to what? So example, I might want to invite my best friends to my birthday party. What do I want to share? So this might be example. For me, these webinars are about me sharing some of the things that I'm thinking through at the moment. And service. Who do I want to serve and what sort of level of service do I want to do? It could be that you want to start up a not-for-profit. It could be that you want to assist a not-for-profit organisation, or you just want to be of service to your customers. So using some of those verbs, you might be able to write your people goal for the year. And hopefully you'll come up with something like this. You'll come up with, so my previous example, help 1,000 people create a manifesto. So if you can write your, whoops, there goes the microphone. So if you can define what you're saying as your three goals and then bring it back to a single statement, then I think you're going to develop a hyper-focus. And the key around the hyper-focus is if you know that you're getting out of bed to do one thing, so I know my goal for this year is to help 1,000 people create a manifesto, then I can build things in play to do that. And then it shifts the game away from having this to-do list with all these different projects and skills. It just comes down to one project that's got multiple elements to it. So, for example, the 1,000 manifestos, I have a website where I'm collecting 1,000 manifestos. I'm offering coaching. I'm doing webinars. I'm talking with people. I'm sharing things. I've got postcards. I'm writing a book. These are all things that forward the game around 1,000 manifestos. And the beautiful thing was when I realized this, it wasn't necessarily about getting paid for all of the 1,000 people I help. So some people would pay me for it. Some people would get it free online. Some people would get it out of the ebook. And so you can actually design your strategy to support people. And even I worked it out. So if my goal was, let's say $100,000 was how much I wanted to earn and I wanted to help 1,000 people, I could charge $100 from 1,000 people or I could charge $1,000 from 100 people and still have the goal. So you can see there's multiple ways of getting to the same end. And I think this frees us up around our business. So if we know what the goal is, but we've got flexible ways of getting there, then we know we can just keep heading in a direction and make choices as we go along. Part four, what's next for capital building? In particular, what's next for your capital building? So here's the two things I think you need to do. The first thing I think is to define your campaign. So I'd be having, again, repeating what we've covered, a goal in each of these three areas. A goal for the money, which most of us tend to have. A goal around building some idea or intellectual capital. And a goal around the people that you want to meet or share or work with or even invite to join your community or join you in your birthday party or whatever it might be. And I think the two steps, if you want to go back to, I think, obviously, my bias is because my whole world's around manifestos at the moment. Create your manifesto, which there's enough clues in the last two webinars to do that, particularly the second webinar, how to create your big idea. And then what we're really doing is creating a campaign out of that. So we're turning the manifesto in, here's the big idea, and here's how I make it happen in the world. And that's been the whole point of what we've talked about today. And finally, we're going to get down to advertisement for my workshop coming up in a couple of weeks. So what are we up to? That's about 2 weeks away. How to design, build and sell your ideas. So part of my thinking is that I think I'd always just been doing stuff in my business and I'd never really related to my business as an idea. And I think Michael Gerber says it beautifully that most of us come into our business with an idea, but it's usually the idea to start a business, and that's almost where it starts and stops. And it's not about building an idea that we can engage ourselves in and engage our community in and engage customers in. And also, it's not an idea that we necessarily are building. And yet, I think that's the central tenet for where businesses need to be thinking about. It's like changing the focus. And part of today's workshop or webinar was about shifting the focus so you could just see your business in a different way. so you can have some different goals to focus on. And that's part of what we'll be discussing in the workshop. So in the workshop, we will be covering manifestos, we will be covering campaigns, we'll be covering your content marketing program and your publishing, we'll be covering the events you want to create, we'll be covering products and the things you need to build to keep your idea alive, and we'll be looking at the idea of legacy and immortality and how you can have your idea stay alive forever, long after you're gone. So that's coming up on the 19th. The early bird has now closed, so the normal price for this workshop will be $450. And given this is the first one, I've got a rather special price there of $270 as an introductory offer for this workshop. So if you're interested, go to theideasarchitect.com.au/ideas lunch webpage. Hopefully that's easy enough to write down or remember. And for next week, so August 11, same time, 12:30 for a 12:35 start. And I'm probably pretty close to 1:15 today, so that's good to see that I've made the time. Next week, we'll be talking about how to build a cult following. And I think the key to this is, could you imagine the situation that Apple has when they launch a new iPad and they have people queuing up overnight outside their stores? Could you imagine that happening in your business? That would be pretty phenomenal. So we're going to look at some of the things that Apple do and some of the other things that cult or cult-like companies have, like, and we'll explore how you can apply some of that to basically build a loyal team of followers and supporters that refer customers to you, but also are loyal and defend your brand in the marketplace as well. So that's next Thursday. And finally, you can look at ideasarchitect.com.au Ideas Lunch, and we'll have the recording from today and the slides from today, plus the recordings and slides from last week, and plus your opportunity to register for next week's webinar and the workshop as well. So that's us done for today. 2 minutes to spare, I'm quite happy about that. I think that's much easier if we can get it done in 45 minutes instead of an hour. So thank you for joining us today. And if you've got any questions, feel free to send them to me at jeff@ideasarchitect.com.au. And I look forward to you being on the webinar again in the future. Thanks and goodbye.